So let's see. So it says like this. Tana Rabban. We're on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Now Lamed Beis Tana Rabban. It's like 6-7 lines from the bottom. Okay. So it says Ne'amar. Kabbalis Avicha Vesimecha. Ne'amar Kabbalis Hashem Elokecha. So the pasuk says Kabbalis Hashem Elokecha means honor God from your wealth. Okay. So it says it's similar. Both by Kadosh Baruch Hu and by parents, it says that you should be mechaber them. Okay, similar. So what says hish vehakasev kavod avayim lekavod amakom? So you see, the Torah equates kidayim kavod amakom. It's not exactly clear how it equates them. How does it equate them? I mean, on surface, could use the word kavod, but I mean, it's a pretty weak equation. I mean, use the word kavod. I mean, okay, fine. So what other? What do you want to use a different word? You know, that's the word. I mean, it's not equating them. It just happens to be there's a mitzvah covered by your parents and a mitzvah covered by Shemayim. So that's the question. What does it mean? It equates the two. It doesn't seem to be an equation exactly, unless it's like a gzera shava. I mean, it's not clear exactly. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ne'emar yeshim avav of tirao, ne'emar etz Hashem lekecha tira, ve'oso tavod, heish ve'akosim, morasim makom. Similarly, it says, Tibayira, there's an equation between Yira of your parents and Yira of Hashem. Again, it's not exactly clear how exactly it's equated. Right? I mean, I guess semantically they're kind of similar. Kabet es Yira, Kabet es Hashem Ahoncha, and then Ishimo Tiro, es Hashem Alkecha Tiro. Is that what it means they're equated? Or just the fact that there is a din of Kavod and there is a din of Yira? Okay, well, that's what they're saying, fine. Fine. Then it says Ne'emar mekala avim amos yumas. Ne'emar ishki kala lekav v'nasachata. Hishvakasav birkas avim lebirkas hamakom. So similarly, by the iser of cursing, there's an iser to curse one's parents, and what they call birkas Hashem, which is the same thing with regard to God. Okay, that's a euphemism. They use the lashon. They don't want to say cursing. So it's the opposite. Birkas Hashem is called. Okay, that's your. So you have a similarity between the Isser of, the Isser of cursing one's parents and Birkas Hashem. Okay? Fine. You know, by the way, there is an interesting thing, is though, if you look in the Rambam, says, because the thing is, you know, what's interesting is there's an Isser of curse on anybody. The Isser of curse any Jew. So it's not exactly on the surface. So what do you mean? It's equating the sort of cursing of Birkas Hashem with cursing your parents? Isn't this sort of curse anybody? It's not like I understand by kavod on Yira. There's no halacha of kavod of your average Joe, kavod of Yira. So in that regard, you say it's an equation. But by cursing, there's a halacha not allowed to curse anybody. So the Rambam for that shows is that it means the issur of cursing somebody. You don't there's no chiyuv misa, but by cursing. Cursing your parents and Birkas Hashem, there is skila by both of them. So the way the Rambam sets it out is not the fact that there's an isser of cursing your parents, but the fact that you get the same exact onesh by the two of them. It's interesting, you know. That's how he learns the fact that they're equated. But on service is a more severe isser, different isser. There's an isser of cursing a regular Jew is one isser, and then there's a different isser of cursing your parents, two different isser, and it's a more severe onesh. But the onesh of cursing your parents is exactly the same as Birkas Hashem. So the saying is, you see, the Torah is equating them. Okay, and then it says, Aval Be'aka Avada Yiyavshar. But in hitting, obviously, it's impossible. You can't have an Isser, you have an Isser, because there's four mitzvahs by parents. It's Kavod, Yira, you're not allowed to curse, and you're not allowed to hit. So by God, obviously, there's no Isser for hitting, there's no such thing as hitting. So, but you have Kavod, Yira, and Birkas Hashem, but there's not many mitzvahs. Kavod Hashem isn't really a mitzvah in many mitzvahs. There's no mitzvah like that. Kavod Hashem, there's Yiras Hashem. Kavod Hashem Yehoncha just means like you use your money for mitzvahs and stuff. That's what they say. Kavod Hashem Yehoncha means to use your money for Yehoncha, from your wealth. So it's using your money for mitzvahs. Okay. So and then the Gemara says, so it has these equations. Basically, they're equated in these three regards. Okay. Then it says v'chein b'din sheshlashtam shotvim ba, and it's logical because there are three of them are partners in him. Okay, the three of them are partners in him, so therefore it's logical that there is this equation that these three are equated, that Hashem and your parents are equated in these three regards because they are all partners. Okay, because they're all partners. So what's that talking about? Rashi, v'chem yedin sheyokshu kibud kavod amor al haben. That they should compare kavod amor the child to that of Hashem. Shayav hem shutfen l'makamot, because they too, the parents are partners with God in him. Okay, so the Gemara explains. Let's go a little further. Okay, with me? So you guys doing this so far? Okay. So the Gemara explains a little further. Are you ready further? Tana Rabban. You stopped. Okay. Tana Rabban. Shlosh shutfen hem ba'adam. There are three partners in a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'aviv v'ima. Okay, Hashem and his father and his mother. So other parts, Raga Rashi says, Mefarish b'braisa, m'sachas nida. Ish mazriya loven shabal. The man gives him the whiteness part of him. Isha mazras odem shabal. The woman gives him the red part of him. Okay, I mean, it's their science. I don't really know what it was. But I guess it's like in the genetics. I mean, there's an idea. Like, they each contribute their part. Mekosh baruch hu nofech bo neshama. Hashem gives him the neshama, marai ayin. And Vishmias Ozen, Vidibor in his senses, his eyes and his ears and his mouth. So they're all partners in creating and bringing about man's existence. Okay, so the question on the surface is, what do you mean? They're God's tool. They're not partners. It's just the way God does it. Okay, good question. So they're three partners. We'll go further. So the three partners. And therefore, then it says, Bizman shal de mechabedes aviv es imo, the time that a person honors his mother and father. America the Shbarachu. Hashem says, "Ma'ila ani aleichem ki ilu darti b'nehem v'kibduni." I consider it upon them as if I dwelt amongst them and they honored me. Okay, they're all partners, and saying if a person honors his mother and father, God says it's as if he dwelt amongst the household and they honored Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, and it's saying because of this fact, somehow that's why you have this equation of Kavod, Yira, and Esrav Klal. Okay, that's what Gemara is saying. That's just logical. It's logical that there should be this equation because of the fact that they're all partners. It's a good question. I mean, as if who is dwelling, who's honoring Hashem? I mean, on the surface, it means the guy himself. I mean, right? The kid. The Kibduni. I mean, the surface of the question is, on the surface it would seem only the kid is the one who's honoring Hashem. He's the one who's doing it somehow, but it's kibduni sounds like it's plural. So that's a good question. How they're involved? Okay. So I guess the question is, what's his deal? What's talking about here? What's this idea of shloshut v'madam, and what's this equation? What's it saying here that you have this equation of the three mitzvot and exactly that? What's the equation altogether? Because it says covered by all them, and it says yira by all them, and it says it's not an equation. I mean, is that an equation exactly? What's the idea here? So this is like basic stuff about what's the deal with Kibud Avayim altogether. I mean, this gets down to underlying idea behind Kibud Avayim. Because there's always a question: is what's the idea of Kibud Avayim? Why should a person honor their parents? So the common sense attitude about it, I think, is without people that don't know anything, it's basically look, after all, they did all this stuff for you. They raised you. They took care of you. They brought you into the world, and it's like a whole. It's like somewhat of like a Hakaras HaTov type of a concept. I mean, that's a standard type of way of looking at it. But the problem with that approach is, first of all, what's the problem with that approach? How do you know that's not the mitzvah? I guess, first of all, if your parents are cruel, it doesn't make a difference. Like, let's say you have step-parents who, let's say your parents are cruel, they throw you on the doorstep as a child, infant, and then some other parents take you in. So who do you have a chiyuv kavod for? No, you don't have it for step parents. You only have it for the original parents. Okay, for the original parents. So even though your original parents threw you on the doorstep and the step parents took you in and were very nice to you and all that stuff, so still the chiyuv kavod is on your parents. Parents are the biological parents. Okay, so you see, it's not. There is a din of hakaras tov, but that's not kiravayim. Kiravayim is specifically for parents, for those who brought you into this world. So you see, the mitzvah is beyond just that, beyond the idea of hakaras tov, but it's an idea of. He who is your creator, so to speak. And also, you see, it's an interesting thing also, is that it's like, it's well known. I mean, the Ramban says it openly, but as you know, when you have the Asur Sedebros, there's like the two sides of Asur Sedebros, First one side, they say the first five is Ben Adam Lamakom, and the second five is Ben Adam Chavera, right? So the question is the first five, Kibud Avayim is in the first, is the fifth one. So that's Kibud Avayim, Ben Adam Lamakom. It would sound like that should be Ben Adam Chavera. Right, it's your parents, especially if it's Kosovo, so. So the idea that this Chazal is bringing out, and is that it's really, it's not, there's no other, there's no person worthy of kavod, per se. Okay, kavod is really, kavod is really only for Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the thing is, like this, it's hard for a person to realize kavod of Kadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu is hard for a person to have knowledge of and to relate to in a concrete type of way. And the fact that a man is created by God is something which is very difficult for a person to realize. I mean, intellectually, a person could raise, the higher level a person is, the greater to extent to which he realizes that idea. I think, in fact, there's a Ramban, I think he says, like, that's man's objective in this world, is to realize that, ultimately, he could sum it up and say, man's realization that he is a Nivra, that he's created, So that's like his whole place in the world, in reality. But that's very difficult for a person to realize, because his realization of God is very difficult, and a person naturally feels of himself as like a self-made, like a self-made man or independent. So it's difficult. It's difficult, although it's an important mitzvah, but it's difficult for a person to do. But through the parent is kind of the vehicle through which God brought you into existence. And in this world, your parents are your creator, but they reflect the ultimate creator. Right, the ultimate creator. And as such, a person tore set up a mitzvah to be mechabed the parents, but the idea is really is you subordinating yourself to your creator, which reflects the ultimate creator. You know what I mean? And it brings you towards a realization of the idea, the concept of a creator, and the vehicle through which God brought you into existence. So it means they're shutfim, it means that your, insofar as you're concerned, your existence on this world is due to three players. To Kadosh Baruch Hu ultimately, and your parents, of course, in a secondary manner, but in your mind, you think of Creator, you think of your parents, you think of Kadosh Baruch Hu, because your existence is brought up through them, through them directly. So that being the case, when a person is, that's the concept, or that's why a person should honor his parents. It's because his parents, and I think it's important to remember in trying to honor one's parents, is that if you look at your parents as personalities, like psychological, emotional personalities, and like human beings with emotions and with all that kind of stuff, it's very hard to mechayev them. Because you can project all kinds of weaknesses onto them, and I'm sure every child finds a lot of problems with their parents. And it's very difficult to be mechabed them. But if a person transcends that level and doesn't look at his parents just as being people, but looks at them as the quality in their parent of their creator, and the fact that they reflect the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you remove it from the personal, struggles, and you relate to them on a more objective plane, then a person could really accomplish, keep it open. That's the route, I think, to accomplishing it. If you're in the personal route, it's very difficult, because there's too many, emotions, there are too many emotions involved, But if you could remove yourself from that and really look at your parents in an objective light and forget, yeah, it's true, they may be lowlifes, okay, let's say. But it doesn't matter, it has nothing to do with that. They reflect the creator of the universe. And they are your personal creator, and through being mechabed them, and this means it's like as if God dwells amongst you and you mechabed him. It's because it's like a concrete way, within your very life, and your dwelling, in your house, to have a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Upshot that your parents deserve respect. It's not that they deserve it. It's that when you think of your parents, you think that they brought you into existence, their creator. That brings to mind the ultimate creator, and the concept of creator has to bring. You have to subordinate yourself towards to creator. Is the whole objective of Torah. So that being who in your personal life reflects the Creator is a person should also respect. And by doing that, it's based upon your recognition of God. That's what I say. That's why it says if God has dwelled in your house and you honored Him, because the honor of your parents is really like an exercise in honor and honoring of God. I mean, in a more concrete type of a way. In a sense, easier, easier to relate to manner. I mean, in a sense, difficult because you have emotions involved. But in a sense, it's more concrete and easier to grab hold of. But it's as if you're honoring God. That's what I'm saying. It's as if you're honoring Kadosh Baruch Hu. The question being raised is a good question. Is that what is precisely the difference between this and Avodah Zarah? Okay, that the idea in Avodah Zarah seems to be is where mankind finds difficulty in relating to God. God's too abstract for man, not pleasing to the emotions. And therefore, they're set up as some sort of an intermediary, some sort of an idol, or maybe even a star, or something, you know, something through which man could look at and think about it, think about God. Because God's too exalted, too difficult for man to think about. And therefore, he uses some intermediary to which he could direct his activities, his worship, or whatever. So here, you're not worshiping your parents. I mean, that is a little bit of a difference. But it seems like, in some regard, it seems like this does partake in that sphere. Now, it does seem like it's different, but it would be nice if we could define exactly where the difference is. I mean, that seems to be important, you know? That's an important question. So we're going to leave that question. We'll think about it. Maybe tomorrow we'll figure it out. Okay, it's a very good question. Okay, it needs a good answer. You know, I mean, you can say a lot of things, you know, but like I feel like it's worth giving a solid answer to, you know. Okay, so now let's get back to the other thing. So what's the Gemara mean now? So I think with this we could understand the idea of the equation. Now. That it's saying is funny. What's this equation? See, I think that what's bothering the Gemara, something bothering the Gemara. What the Gemara is that you have an idea of kavod of kavod Hashem, yiras Hashem, birkas Hashem, right? And then you have kavod for a human being, you're a human being, and then they sort of cursing a human being, right? Now you'd think who would be deserving of more honor, God or a human being? God. Okay. God. Okay. So that's what you think, right? Yet, there's something bothersome when you look at the Torah, is that the system of a kavod and of the way a person relates to God, kavod, yira, birkas Hashem, is exactly replicated by man, by your parents. Okay, it's exactly replicated, the same system of principles which guide the way a person should relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu is set up when it comes to his parents. So that's troublesome. I think this was bothering the Gemara. I mean, on the surface, that should be bothersome. You'd think it should be less. You'd think is that you should honor it by God, you should have three things, and by man, you should have less. You know what I mean? Or something like that. The fact that you have, like almost like a parallel system is bothersome. You know what I mean? It's bothersome. That I think, should be troubling. You should have less. You know what I mean? So I think that's what the Gemara is pointing out, is that Hishva means that the Torah set up equal systems, parallel systems here. You know what I mean? But I think what it's saying is that it makes good sense in line with what we're saying, right? Which is because, see, in truth, you can't really say that God demands 100 kavod points and the man demands 90. See, to say man is less, see, even it's interesting. Is that if man would be less, then you'd be implying that God is up to level highest level and man's a little bit less. You know what I mean? See, that itself would be a problem. That then you're basically saying is that there's kavod of God, and there's also kavod of Adam, but kavod of Adam is less. See, that would be a mistake. Because there's no such thing. You can't talk about kavod of Adam and kavod of God in the same breath. They're two totally different things. Okay, the ones you can't. There is no kavod. The kavod is only for God, and there's no kavod of Adam. Adam is created. The only kavod really is kavod of God. So therefore, if it were the case that Torah set it up, like this Kavod Shemayim, and then Kavod of Adam is like lesser, then a person would make a mistake and think that there's like a quantitative difference, that there's, honoring God, and then honoring man is also, man's also worthy of Kavod on his own right. You think he's worthy of a Kavod on his own right, but less than God. But the fact that the Torah makes an equal system, so it's clear to anybody that it doesn't make any sense that you have Kavod for a human being equal to that of God, that's clear. So it points you to the direction of the fact that it must be that this is really a type of kavod hamakom, or that the kavod of the man, it could only be understood. How is it exactly equivalent to kavod Hashem? Because it must be that it is a kavod Hashem. You know what I mean? Because it couldn't be otherwise. If it were less, you'd understand it that there's kavod Hashem and then there's kavod of human being and man is less. But that would be a mistake because there's no kavod of man. Human beings, they don't respect the human beings per se. But since it makes it equal, no, it can't be. No one's going to think that it means that you're honoring a human being equal to that of honoring the creator of the universe. That can't be. So it's clear, when you think about it, it's clear that the fact that it's equal to the whole system exactly creates a replica of the system as you have by God. It points man to the fact that the kavod is really kavod shamayim, which is just taking another form. It's taking the form of of your parents because they bring to mind the idea of Shemayim. You know what I mean? Because of Shosh Shotvim. You know what I mean? But it's really Kavod Shemayim. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is the fact that it's, that's what it means, V'chein B'din, that's logical because they're partners. Since it's really not two separate things, but they're really one and the same, it's really just this type of Kavod Shemayim, so therefore, since they reflect Shemayim, how are you supposed to relate to them? Oh, well, in the way you relate to Shemayim, you have Kavod, you have, you know, Yero, you have Kval, you know, exactly the same. Of course, in hitting, it can't be the same, because since they're a concrete manifestation, it's possible to hit. But by Shemayim, by God, obviously you can't do such a thing. You know what I mean? But basically it's saying the Torah set up, and that's what he's saying, is really the Torah would have even set up equal by heading if it were possible. But it's saying it's not possible. You know what I mean? But the fact that it's equal points you to the fact, two things which are equal, a person doesn't just think they happen to be equal. Two things equal points to the fact that they're really one and the same. You know, or they're linked. You know what I mean? Verses like this. Tanya. Rabbi Omer. Galuv yadu alafnei misham avay haolam shebein mechaber es ima yosem elvish. Okay, it is revealed before God. This is famous, by the way. It's famous stuff. It's clear. It's revealed. It's well known that a son honors his mother more than his father. Mivneishem ishadalta b'dvarim, because she like appeases him. She talks nicely to him. She's right. So it's very generally the respect to take care of their needs. A person who naturally is more inclined to doing that for his mother. So therefore, the Torah says, "Kabed es avicha ve'esimecha." It switches it the opposite of the way that a person is naturally inclined. And similarly, "V'galav yadu alafnei mishamar v'haya olam she'aben misyarei me'aviv yosem imo." The father, son, fears his father more than his mother. The Torah. Because he teaches the Torah. He's the big authority. He's the knowledge, this, whatever you want to call it. But he's the guy. It's interesting, it shows that he teaches the Torah. It doesn't say because he's mean or because whatever. But he's the teacher. He's the guy who's teaching the Torah. So he basically, there's an awe. Yeah, there's an awe. There's an awe of the... I mean, whatever Yira. I mean, I don't know exactly what Yira is. It's awe, fear, whatever it is. But that's naturally going to be towards the Father. The Fikach, Hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mora Ha'em L'mora Ha'av. So therefore, the Torah specifically, it says, Ish imo ve'aviv tira'u. It says the mother first. Okay, it says the mother first. Okay? You with me? So the question... it went exactly, in both Kavod and Yira, it did it the opposite of the way a person naturally is inclined. Okay? And the Torah doesn't really say, why? They're like, what's the punchline? Because why? You know, like, why did the Torah do that? What was the Torah trying to accomplish by doing that? You know what I mean, what's the idea here? You know what I mean? Because I think it's saying is like you both of you are saying that a person naturally, see, I think this is one of these commands, like honor your father and your mother. You know, like everyone knows that, everyone in the world knows that, and I think a lot of people, this is a virtue in the world, right? I mean, it's not only a Jewish virtue. I mean, it seems like every religion probably has pretty this much type of thing. Even people who aren't religious, I would think, have this idea of an ethic of honor your parents. Right? It's just an ethic, you know? So the question is that the mitzvah? If you do have that ethic, you know, is that the mitzvah? So it seems to be is that ethic, it seems to be saying the way people naturally relate to it, is that they really, there's preference. Now, when it comes to the honor, they really honor their mother. When it comes to, they do their father. And there's the way the natural emotions of man. I mean, there's an emotional draw of honoring your parents and respecting your parents and all for your parents. There's a person naturally does that. But anything the Torah wants to tell a person is that that's not the mitzvah. Okay, if your person is just following their natural inclination towards kavod and yira, then they're missing the boat. Okay, and because that's not really the idea. See, that's just like based on different emotional things, you know, whatever emotional factors you want, you know, because the mother is nice to you and the father is a scary guy, whatever it is, and then you're just following your natural emotions. See, but that's not the idea in Torah. See, and that's why the Torah specifically switches it, because when you read the Torah, you'll realize, wait a second, this isn't the way I always looked at it, because the way you feel is the opposite, and you expect the Torah to be in line with the order in which, you know, the way you naturally fall in line. But it hits you, and Torah Shavuch Sav changes the order to, wait a second, something's going on here. I must be, there's a wrong notion. And that's not, the notion is that, and I think the notion is good, is that the notion is that the reason why you're mechaber the parents is not because of any emotional things, not because of anything they did for you, or they're nice, or they teach you Torah, or because of anything, but simply because they reflect the Borei Olam, they reflect the Creator. And as such, the mother and father equally reflect the Creator. There's no difference in how they reflect the Creator, right? So therefore, it's they're exactly the same. There's no difference between them. You know what I mean? So the thing is, but the Torah went out of its way to write it in this way to point to you the underlying idea of kavod of your parents. Don't think that kavod of your parents is just an emotional thing, but it's really kavod shemayim. And if you miss that point, you're really missing the mitzvah. I mean, like, it's not just telling you like philosophy, but if you relate to it in that way, you're not really doing the mitzvah kibud av. I mean, I don't know, technically you're probably yotze. I'm not saying you're not yotze, but you're missing the whole objective. The whole kibud of the mitzvah is really is kibud shemayim. And if you just do it in the natural emotional way, then you're really going to be missing that mitzvah. You don't really relate to them as creator. There's nothing to do with it. So that's not the mitzvah. So it specifically went out of its way to change it to point you away from their natural thing and make you think into it more deeply. You know what I mean? You with me? Well, the Rambam on this is very interesting, and maybe we'll leave this question. But the Rambam basically, we'll deliver two questions. The Rambam says, Hiktim, same thing. He quotes the same thing, but he says a little different. He has a conclusion. Hiktim av la'im la'kavod, v'hiktim aim la'av la'mora. Okay, it switches the orders. La'lamed, to teach you sheshnehem shavim, bein la'mora, bein la'kavod. To teach you that they're both equal. For Mora and Kavod. Yeah, the Gemara didn't say that, by the way. The Gemara didn't say it teaches you that they're both equal. I mean, we kind of just intuited that. But the Gemara doesn't say that it's teaching you. The Rambam is learning this not just as a philosophical thing, but he's saying to teach you that they're both equivalent. That the Kavod and the Yira, for the two of them, are exactly equivalent. Okay? That's what the Rambam's saying. And the question is, how exactly does the Rambam get that? Okay? I mean, it seems philosophically it makes sense that they're going to be both equal. Because philosophically, it's kavod shemayim and all that. But how does the fact that it did one first here and one first there teach you that? Because, and just to explain my question more specifically, is let's assume by both of them it said the father first. Then what would you say? It said kavod by I'm sorry, father first by kavod and father first by your. What would you say? What would be the deduction from the way that I'm saying? It said the father first by both of them. Then you'd think, if it were with father first by both, then you'd think the father's first. The father's greater kavod for the father than the mother. Greater yira for the father than the mother. Right? Or that's the fact that you can make deductions from the orders, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Apparently, you have a right to deduce. And if it said the father first by both, you'd somehow come up with a svara that the father's first. Right. And if it said the mother first by both, then you'd say the mother's first by both, right? Now, what did it do? It said the father first by one, the mother first by the other. So what should be the deduction you'd come to? Yeah, so I would think the natural deduction should be that where it says the father first, the father's first, and it says the mother's first. By cover, the father's first, by year, the mother's first. Yeah, just logically, I mean, if you tell me that you have a right to deduce based on the order, and they're two separate things, and if it said father first by both, you'd say he's first by both, and you'd say mother's first by both, and that if it says by one or one, you'd say that, you know, right. Unless you're coming with a preconceived notion that they have to be equal philosophically, but then you don't need any limit altogether. But you don't have that, so it must be, he's saying that that's a halachic deduction by the fact that the Torah switched the order, that they're equal. That doesn't follow. It doesn't follow. What really should be is that the father, the by kavod, the father first, and the by yira, the mother. And I, you'll tell me that doesn't make any sense. So first of all, who's this? I don't know if that. So what? But that's the limud. I mean, you have to find the sense. But I'll tell you, it does make sense anyways. Because since the Torah is trying to counter your emotions, right, and show you that you don't have it right. So it specifically went the opposite of your emotions, and it said by kavod the father, you had to do the father more, and by yira, you had to do the mother more. Exactly for that very reason. Right? Would that be so crazy? That is telling you the opposite, and is actually setting up the mitzvah in a way that you have to do it the opposite of your emotions, and therefore by kavod the father's first, and by yira the mother's first. So how does the Rambam know that it's teaching that they're both equal? Right? I mean, maybe not. Maybe really it is the way it says it.
Right?
Right? If it would have had father first both, it would have been that way, and mother first both, it would have been.
Right?
Okay, that's an important question. Okay, that's a halachic question, I think. I mean, okay? That's one question that we'll try to get to tomorrow. Then the next thing, let's read the next Gemara. Okay, so the next thing is the Gemara says like this. Another funny Gemara.
Oh, good.
Very interesting Gemara. It says, Tani Tana Kameder of Nachman. Okay? Tana Tana Kameder of Nachman. You see that? It says, Bizman, it's like the fifth line, Lamed Alf Malf. Bizman Shah the Mitzaris of Ves Imo. And time if a person pains his father and mother. Okay? Now he doesn't respect them, but he pains them. He tortures them, whatever. So it says, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu. Whatever it means. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yafe Asisi, Shelo Darti Benehem. God says, it's a good thing that I did not dwell amongst them. Shel Mole Darti Benehem. Because if I would have dwelt amongst them, Tsiaruni, they would have pained me. Right? Because the thing is, the person's paining his parents, so if God were actually dwelling there, then he would have been pained also. So it's saying, God's saying, it's a good thing that I didn't dwell amongst them. Although it seems like, what do you mean he doesn't? I thought he does dwell amongst them, but, you know. It seems like he only dwells amongst them if they do it. If they don't do it, then he knows to get out of there. But what's the idea here, right? And this is a funny Gemara. First of all, what does it mean, Tsiaruni Hashem? I mean, how can you use Tsiar Hashem? Right? And what's the whole thing? I mean, what's the deal here? Does God dwell there? Does he not dwell there? Does he, you know, the whole Gemara is like, what's the point of this? You know, I mean, what's it getting at? Okay? And also, if you want to call it Tosos. The Tosos Kabet Shem HaOncha. But I think...
Which one?
These two should keep us busy. Kabet Shem HaOncha.
Okay.